let's just review what we did yesterday, or at least one particular point in yesterday's shiur here on Daf Yud Beis Omid Beis, where the Gemara says L'chatchila Ika Beinayu, and we had three shitos in the Braisa. According to the final explanation, the final text of the Gemara at this point, the Tanakama and Rav Shimon are arguing about the following: whether or not l'chatchila you could be ma'abed the shana in order to avoid bringing the Korban Pesach b'tumah. Rav Shimon is in favor of doing so l'chatchila. The Tanakama is not on board. You know, if they went ahead and they were ma'abed the shana, then it's okay, but that's not l'chatchila what should be done. And Rabbi Yehuda is the third opinion. He's the other extreme, and he holds that ein ma'abrin, because he's of the opinion that tumah hutra b'tzibur, and therefore there's absolutely no reason to be ma'abrin the shana, no justification whatsoever. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the episode of Chizkiah and the fact that he needed tshuva and kapara makes absolute sense. According to the Chachamim, it's a little bit less smooth, because b'di'evad the ibur would be valid. According to Rav Shimon, it's very difficult, because Rav Shimon holds that we should advocate in favor of ibur based on the principle of hutra d'chuya b'tzibur. Hence, why would Chizkiah have done tshuva for what actually should have been done? And he was absolutely right, and that's going to force the Gemara, in order to defend Rabbi Shimon, to reinterpret the entire episode of Chizkiah. Now, as we summarize these three shitas, the Gemara actually brings a brisa that presents that pretty much explicitly, starting with the Chachamim, who say Ein Ma'amar Sashon Ibn Atumah L'chatchila, but b'di'evad the Ibur would be valid, and then Rabbi Shimon holds Ma'abrin even l'chatchila. Now, in this version of the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon actually addresses the question that we've been raising: why would Chizkiah have had regrets and ask for tshuva kapara if he did exactly what he was meant to do? And therefore, we're going to have to reinterpret the episode of Chizkiah, and it had to do with adding a month which was illegal. And that's going to bring us to the Sugya of Shmuel of Roi. But the point that I want to make is that if we go back to the Sugya of Tzitz, you remember that Rabbi Yehuda was the one, based on the principle of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, who concluded that even though the Tzitz is not Meratz on Yom HaKippurim, because the Karbonis are brought and it might be B'Tumah when the Kohen is Lifnai V'Lifnin, and at that point he's wearing the big day love and he doesn't have the Tzitz, that's irrelevant. Why? Because even though Tzitz is Eina Maratza El B'Odo Al Mitzcho, nevertheless we don't need the Tzitz in the case of Yom HaKippurim, because all the Karbonis of Yom HaKippurim are Karbonis Tzibur, which means the Kavua Lem Zman. And once it's Zman Kavua, we activate the principle of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. And in that sense, we don't need the tzitz. So let's just emphasize, we can obviate the need for the tzitz in order to create ritzui in the case of Yom HaKippurim because of the principle of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. That's going to replace the need for the tzitz. And Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur basically means ignore the fact that there's a Karbon B'Tumah, and that becomes completely irrelevant. And the Karbon is Mechaper as if it was Tar. So we don't need the tzitz. Now, it would seem that the logical conclusion would be that if you were to hold like Rabbi Yehuda that the tzitz is only maratza b'zman shu'al mitzcho, then you're going to have to conclude that tumah is hutra b'tzibur. And that's the conclusion. The reason why why the Karbanos of Yom HaKippurim could be Mechaper, even if they were Baba Tuma, and even according to Rabbi Yehudu holds that Sitz, if it's Eino Al Mitzvah, is not Meratzah, is because of the Halach of Tuma Hutshu Bitzibur. So there seems to be an excluded middle, meaning you cannot maintain on the one end that Tuma, that Sitz is Meratzah for the Kohen Gadol only if it's Al Mitzvah, but if it's not Al Mitzvah, it's not Meratzah, and at the same time say Tuma Dechuya Bitzibur, because if Tuma Dechuya Bitzibur, then we really need the Tzitz on Yom HaKippurim, despite the fact that the Karbonos of Yom HaKippurim are Karbonos Tzibur. Now yesterday we mentioned a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Let's just re-emphasize this, that the reason why the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim in Big Day Lavan, taking off his Big Day Zav, is because Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar. And Zav is a kategor insofar as it's reminiscent of the Egel HaZav. So that has to be left out, because the Egel HaZav is called, wearing Big Day Zav is called Haskara Sachet of Egel HaZav. Now the din of Karban Tzibur, that a Karban Tzibur is Doche Tuma, or maybe Hutshu B'Tzibur, that's a carbon, as we said before, that's Zmanom Kavua, which would include the Karbanos of Yom HaKippurim. That's certainly a case of... Okay, we're gonna start in a second. That certainly is a case of a carbon that's Kavua Lehem Zman. Now, let's mention that there may be other karbanos kavua lehem zman where we're going to apply the principle of tumah hutshu b'tzibur, even though they're not karbanos tzibur. And the paradigm of that case is going to be the karban pesach. So the karban pesach is incumbent upon every single individual. Everyone has to bring a karban pesach, and yet it's called a karban tzibur. Again, technically, we should classify it as a karban yachid, but it's called a karban tzibur as far as tumah hutshu b'tzibur. Why? Because it has a zman kavua. Now, on the flip side, I mentioned yesterday that you could have a karban tzibur, but yet it doesn't have a zman kavua, and hence it would not come under the halach of tumah hutshu b'tzibur. And that would be the case of par helim davar shel tzibur. There are another couple of cases that we could add, karbanos that we could add to that list. For example, se'irei avodah zarah are also karbanos tzibur, but they have no zman kavua. You know, you can't look at the calendar and know beforehand when there's a chiv to bring a parahel and davar shel tzibur. Or se'irei yom avodah zarah, it all depends on when that avera, if and when that avera was violated. Now, in the case of a karban chagiga, once again, we might call a karban chagiga a karban she'ein lo zman kavua. Well, I don't know. That has to be taken under advisement. What's the status of a karban chagiga? Okay, Rabbi Osai, let's get started with the Rambam. I know we don't usually start our shiur with the Rambam, but there's a very interesting Rambam which I want to call to your attention. I'm sorry that I didn't bring the Rambam inside, but we'll sort of quote it by the way. The Rambam is in the fourth parak of Hilchas Bias Migdash. Now we're going to try to compare two halachas. One is halacha ches in that parak, and the other is halacha tesvav. In halacha ches of that chapter, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda and our sugya here on Yud Beis Amud Beis, that ein atzitz meratza el bizman shu al mitzcho shel kohen gadol. Now, before I read to you the Rambam in Halacha Tesvav in the same chapter, let's just derive the logical conclusions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if the Sitz is not Maratza unless it's Al Mitzcho, and the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is going in with Big Day Lavan without a Tzitz, then how could there be a Ritzui for the Karbonos of Tumah? And the answer has to be the Tumah Hucha B'Tzibur. And that's exactly what our Sugya, just to review what we said yesterday, our Sugya concludes that Rabbi Yehuda is not impressed by the fact that the Kohen Gadol takes off the tzitz when he goes lefnai v'lefnim, because I don't need the ritzui of the tzitz. I have another ritzui in Tumah, and that's called Tumah Hucha B'Tzibur, because all the korbanos of Yom HaKippurim are kavu alem zman. They have a set time, obviously, on Yom HaKippurim. And with regard to a korban that has a set time, the principle is Tumah Hucha B'Tzibur. So if you would have said Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur, it means that we have to look for a way in which we can achieve the Ritzui Karban in the case of Tumah, even though it's a Kavul Ebzman, and we have to reach out for some sort of other method of achieving that Ritzui, and that should have been the Tzitz. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that Tzitz is only Maratz if it's on the Metzach of Kohen Gadol, and on Yom HaKippurim it's not on the Metzach of Kohen Gadol. So take a look at the Rambam in Halacha Tesvav. The Rambam paskins Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. Now, how could the Rambam in Halacha Chesav Perek Dalet Milchus Bias Migdash paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that the tzitz is only Maratza when it's Al Mitzcho, and at the same time in Halacha Tesvav in the same chapter he paskins Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur, because it was Rabbi Shimon who held the Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur, and that led him to the conclusion that you must assume that the tzitz is maratza even if it's eino al mitzcho, because otherwise we're in trouble with the karbonos of Yom HaKippurim. How could they possibly be maratza al tumah if tumah is only dechuya b'tzibur? The answer is the fallback position is the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, but he's not wearing the tzitz al mitzcho. Hence, I must conclude, says Reb Shimon, that even if the tzitz is not al mitzcho, it's still maratza al tumah. So this stira, this apparent contradiction, is raised by the Kesef Mishnah in the name of the Mari Korkus. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He was one of the Mugurashei Sfarad. He could have done what some Jews unfortunately did, and they agreed to be baptized, but instead he left Spain with the exile from Spain. And he says, "Hadvarim sosrim zed zed." There's a contradiction in the Rama. Shari b'sug yosenu mevur shalishitas Rav Yehuda sover shetzitz maratza rakishu odo al mitzcho behechrik tzorch lom shetuma hutra b'tzibur shim lokein miyaratza al tuma sakarbonus biyom hakipurim. So how could the Rama say on the one hand that there's no tzitz if it's not al mitzcho, which is in fact Rabbi Yehuda, the Rambam body in Papaskins like Rabbi Yehuda, which is okay, and then turn around and say Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur, because Rabbi Yehuda is based on the assumption that Tumah Hucha B'Tzibur, and that's why we have a Ritzui on the Tumas HaKorbanos of Yom HaKippurim based on the principle of Tumah Hucha B'Tzibur. So Rabbi Yehuda, who he demotes the power of the tzitz if it's not al mitzcho, and the Rambam accepts Rabbi Yehuda, and then the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda is based on the fact that Tumah Hucha B'Tzibur, and the Rambam holds Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. Because Shitzach Lom V'Das HaRambam Shesover She'ein Kushe Zubuch Rachas, that when the Gemara asked this question, it wasn't an absolute question. V'yachol Hoya Rabbi Yehuda L'Taretz V'Yofen Acher, that Rabbi Yehuda could have come up with a different answer as to why the karbonos of Yom HaKippurim, even Bituma on Misratza, even though the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. He had another answer, and he wasn't forced to answer Tumah Hucha B'Tzibur. So the Binyan Shlomo wants to explain what was the alternative answer, and he quotes a Tosafot Masechta Yuma, who says the following: Ketzad nitan lochiach miyom haKippurim shatzitz maratze af kisha eno al metzach haKohen? How did Rabbi Shimon intend to prove his point that the tzitz is meratz even when he's not wearing it from Yom Kippur? Marei Tochin Lomer Shachin Einu Meratz. And Mekom Kol Mutal Hakir B'Tum Me'achas Shetum Me'Nitches B'Nei Korban Tzibur. V'Av Sheish Lachzul Kol Efshel Lassus B'Tara Mekom Kol She'Ein Efshel Sacheres Makrivim B'Tuma. So the point of the Binyan Shlomo is an excellent point. He says, even if you hold Tumah dechuya b'tzibur, which means that we have to lurk, run around, and seek out another option if we can. But nevertheless, if there is no other option, then we're going to apply the principle of tzibur. So that in the case of Yom HaKippurim, because if I maintain, like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's no tzitz, there's no ritzui tzitz, then we're in a no-win situation. The only way we could bring the korbanos of Yom HaKippurim, which might be b'tumah, is if we assume tzibur is enough to allow me to bring the karbon, and there is ritzui karbon. Again, tumah dechuya b'tzibur doesn't reject the fact that there will be a ritzui karbon. It means that we should avoid the tumah if we can. But okay, if we can't, less brera, there's no choice.
It's then, a safety net.
What do you say?
It's a safety net, so to speak. It's like the last.
Yeah, the last resort is to say that. Okay, so let's.
Does the Rambam hold that the Karbanos are on the Kohen Gadol, not on the Tzibur?
There is such a thing as a paro shel Kohen Gadol, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about all the Karbanos that are brought on behalf of the Tzibur.
Oh,
no. Right.
But there
is one carbon that's the Kohen. There may be one carbon that's also like a carbon yachid in the sense that it's for Shevet Kahuna. But the bulk of the Karbanos. Okay, so now let's go back to Rav Shimon of yesterday. So Rav Shimon of yesterday said the following: that in a case of Tumah, which means that Rov Hatzibur Tmeim, so Rav Shimon advocates in favor of Ibur Shana. That's L'chatchila, if you recall. So the problem was, according to Rav Shimon, why was Chizkiah begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachamim when Chizkiah, according to Rav Shimon, did exactly what he was meant to do, and that is Ibur Shana? So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Let's see if we can find the Braisa. It's do you see where this Tosus Dima Maskel Michdi on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis? So if you go up a few lines, you'll see Tanya Nami Hachi. That's what we want to start today. Tanya Nami Hachi. Ein Ma'abris Hashon Mipnei Atumah L'chatchila. Reb Shimon Omer Ma'abrim Elo Mipnei Ma'abikesh. And in that space there it should say Chizkiah. Mipnei ma bikesh Chizkiah rachmim al atzmo she'ein ma'abrim el adar v'hu iber nisan b'nisan. So if you recall, this was the 30th day of the month of Adar, and Chizkiah went ahead and he was ma'abr the shana. In other words, he understood that the 30th day is still Adar. We could add another Adar. Omar Mar Ein Ma'abrim El Adar V'Hu Iber Nisan B'Nisan. Now, if you take that literally, it sounds like Chizkiah added another month of Nisan. So the Gemara immediately says V'Lesle L'Chizkiah HaChodesh HaZeh L'Chem Zeh Nisan V'Ein Acher Nisan. Does Chizkiah not admit that when the pasuk says HaChodesh HaZeh L'Chem, it means that there's only one? HaZeh means this one. There's only one Chodesh Nisan. You can't be Ma'abra the Shona and add a second month of Nisan. Or alternatively, you can't add another month of Adar once you're already into Nisan. So the Gemara answers, what was Chizkiah's mistake? What was Zerah? Ta'a b'dishmuel. D'yomar Shmuel, Eim Ba'arim Sashonim Yomar Shloshim Shal Adar Ho'il V'roi L'kovo Nisan. So we have this concept of Roy. That was the last thing we mentioned yesterday. And that's the principle that underlies Shmuel. Shmuel says on the 30th day, since it could become Nisan, we're not going to go ahead and be Ma'abra the Shon on the 30th day. And the reason for this is because it looks like he's being Ma'abra the month of Nisan. And the Yad Ramah adds another point here. He says, we're not going to assume that the month was already Nikba, Me'atzmo as Nisan. That we're not going to say. V'yesh lomar b'zeh zeh nisa v'ein acher nisa v'ein acher she'ilu hoya dover kein lo hoya ma'avra shana moel af b'di'evet. You can't say that since the 30th day is Roy, therefore it automatically becomes the first day of Nisan, because if that be the case, there's no way you could validate the Eber Shana B'di'evet. The Gemara is going to say later on that B'di'evet, the Eber will be Chal. But rather we have to say that there was a Gzeres Chachamim Shelo Yizbru Lomar She'ibru as Chodesh Nisan, because it looks to the eyes of the spectator as if they were Ma'abra the month of Nisan. Okay, that's Gzeres the Rabbanim, but that's only L'chatchila, but the Eber, the Ibur, is valid. The Iu Savar, getting back to the Gemara, what was Chizkiah's mistake? Ho'il V'roi Lo Amrinon. Despite the fact that Bezdin could have established that day as the first day of Nisan, but they didn't do so. And if they didn't do so, then it becomes the 30th day of the month of Adar, which means, as we said yesterday, that Adar becomes a Chodesh Mole, and there's still an option for Eber Shana. So again, the whole issue of Chizkiah revolves around Shmuel, this principle called Roy. Now, honestly, I don't see anything in the Gemara that indicates why Shmuel is right and Chizkiah is wrong. That's not clear to me. In other words, if Chizkiah thought that Hoel v'Roy lo Amrinon, why did he back off from that position? I mean, Shmuel is going to come later on down the line, but at the time of Chizkiah, why couldn't he maintain that position, that Hoel v'Roy lo Amrinon? In any event, going on, the Gemara says, based on a brisa that supports Shmuel, Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a brisa, Ein ma'agmas hashonu b'yom shloshim shal Adar, Hoel v'Roy l'kovo Nisan. So the latest date on the calendar for Eber Shana would be the 29th of Adar, the 30th day, and so far as it's Roy, it could become the first day of Nisan. That's already too late for Eber Shana. And the Gemara later on is going to ask the question, what happens if they were Ma'aber the Shana on the 30th day? But do we recognize that Eber? Now the Gemara has a whole new twist on Chizkiah. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Now, this is a radical departure from everything we've said until now, because according to this presentation, Chizkiah was not Ma'abra the Shon at all. What was his mistake? He instructed the people of Israel to delay bringing the Korban Pesach for 1 month. Not because he was Ma'abra the Shana, but he felt that since the people of Israel were Bitumah, therefore, instead of bringing the Korban Bitumah, they have another option. Let them avail themselves of Pesach Sheni, which is on the 14th of Iyar. So the Gemara immediately tries to clarify this. Hechi Dami, what exactly is the case? And then we'll understand and appreciate what the mistake of Chizkiah was. Because it would seem that Chizkiah's ruling is logically supported, because why should we bring the carbon bitumah when the Torah says if a Tameh cannot bring the carbon, he brings it in Pesach Sheni. So why was Chizkiah chozer? But why did he rescind his original position? Now we're talking about the menfolk of Klal Yisrael, and there was a 50-50 situation. Half were Tmeim and half were Tahorim. So how do we classify this scenario, this reality? Is it considered a tumah problem? Well, normally a tumah problem means that rov are tmeim, and here we don't have a rov; we only have 50%. But there's another factor here, and that's what was the status of the nashim. So it says here that nashim hayu mashlimos litahorim viodfos alehem. So it doesn't mean, the way I said it to you before, which is the impression you get when you first read Ravashi's words, mechtze tmeimu, mechtze tahorim, but rather the menfolk were rov tmeim, but the nashim were rov tahoros. Okay, you can give a whole drasha on Shabbos about this. So what do we do? When we mix the calculations, come up with a percentage, a statistical probability theory, then we now have more tahorim than tmeim. Why? Because amongst the women folk, again, a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, but if she brings the Korban Pesach, she optionally, on a voluntary basis, she could be mekayim the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So therefore, when we talk about the tzibur in terms of Korban Pesach, we include the women as well. So hishlimu anoshim sagvarim leminyan mechtza tahorim. Now, if we would count the men and only the men, then certainly, since it's a case of Ruban Tmeim, they should be bringing Pesach Rishon and not Pesach Sheni. Because again, we have a principle that Ish Nidche LePesach Sheni Velo Tzibur. So which means that if Rov HaTzibur Tmeim, then we don't push off the Korban Pesach till Pesach Sheni, we bring the Korban Pesach Bitumo on Pesach Rishon. But that would have made sense only if we would calculate the men and only the men. Because if you calculate the men exclusively, then Enochinami, it's Rov Tzibur Tmeim. But what, and that would have been the logic of Chizkia to postpone the Korban Pesach. I'm sorry. Just 1 second. If we hold that we only calculate the men, then it's Rov Tzibur Tmeim, and Chizkia is not justified. Meaning we would not push off the Korban Pesach to Pesach Sheni. So far so good. So now again we're looking for changing the percentages here. How? We now calculate the women as well. But when you calculate the women as well, because of the preponderant majority of women who were Tahoros, and they were not Tmeim, is therefore we end up that the total statistic is Rov Tahorim, which means that the Korban Pesach should be divided in the following way. Those who are Tahor will bring the Korban Pesach, obviously on the 14th of Nisan. Those who are Tmeim, who represent a minority, they will have to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So now we begin to understand why Chizkia would have told those Tmeim, who now turn out to be in the minority, once you integrate the numbers of the women and the men, to bring the Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. That was his logic, because they represent individuals. All of Klal Yisrael are going to bring the Korban on in its right time, and these individuals of Tomei have to be pushed off to when? To Pesach Sheni. So now we understand the mistake of Chizkia, the Habmin of Chizkia. May Koras Sover Noshim Berishon Chova.
The mistake is that he counted the women, and therefore you have majority that's Tahor.
Correct. His mistake is going to be that he counted the women. Why? Because he thought that the women are not optional, the way I said it before. And optional is not enough to integrate them into the counting. We need a rov from the Bnei Chova, for the Bar Chiyuva. But he was of the mistaken opinion that Noshim Berishon Chova, that according to the Torah law, women are obligated no less than the men in bringing the Korban Pesach, and therefore there's no reason to exclude them from the counting. Now, if you include them in the counting, and most of them were Tahoros, then Havi Mi'utam Tmeim, then it turns out that only a minority of the members of Klal Yisrael were in the state of Tumah. Umi Utam Bidchul Pesach Sheni. When you're in the minority, then that's exactly when the Torah designs Pesach Sheni. Just 1 second. Ubasof. What did Chizkia realize at the end that his mistake was? Sovet Noshim Berishona Rishus. That although a woman can bring the Korban Pesach, but it's only a Rishus. And that's Machlokas Tanoim in Maseches Psachim, whether women, with regard to Pesach Rishon, is Chova or Rishus. And the final maskana is that women are only reshus. And let's assume, for example, that we could apply the principle of mitzvah seishas man grama to the case of Korban Pesach, and therefore women are exempt. But they have reshus. Now, once we lower the level of the obligation of the women to a voluntary obligation, then we don't count them in the calculation. So we go back to the original calculation. Now, with regard to the men folk, what were the majority of the men? Tmeim, havilu tmeim ruba. Now, rov the men were tmeim, v'ruba lo mitchi lepesach sheni. In a case of rov Yisrael tmeim, then we bring the karbon bituma on Pesach Rishon, and he, Chizkiah, pushed them off to Pesach Sheni because mistakenly he thought we should count the women folk as well. And once we add the women folk, then it comes out to be Rubam Tahorim, and let the Miutim bring the carbon Pesach Sheni. But now that Chizkiah smartened up, so to speak, and he realized that women are not obligated in Pesach Sheni, it's only Rishus, they are not calculated in the statistics. And therefore, it comes out that Rov Tzibur is Tmeim, and therefore, even the Tmeim are going to bring the carbon on its, in its proper time on Pesach Rishon. Now, you'll take a look at this Tosus, Divrei HaMaskil V'Noshim, which is the third Tosus on the page, and you'll see that Tosus is trying to work hard in understanding why the Gemara was pushing for Rov Anoshim Tmeim Umiutam Tahorim, and only Betzirif Anoshim, it comes out that Rov Ha'am Tahorim. And Tosis basically says that in such a scenario, everybody agrees that Chizkiah made a mistake. We don't have to get into issues. And the reason why he made a mistake is because he should not have calculated the women. Oh, but if the Gemara would have had a metzius of mechza gvarim tmeim u'mechza tahorim, which is the literal translation of Ravashi, that amongst the men folk itself was 50-50, and when you add in the women folk, then you get rov tahorim. So that depends on a machlokes in Masechta Psachim between Rav and Rav Kahana. What do we do in a case of Asiyas Pesach, which is Mechza al Mechza? So in order to avoid that whole discussion and not fall into this machlokes, the Gemara speaks about a case where Rov Ha'anoshim Watmeim, and if everybody agrees that the carbon should be brought on the first Pesach instead of pushing it off to Pesach Sheni, because we don't calculate the women into the equation because Nashim is only Rishus. So again, just to summarize, the Maskon of Tosis is the Gemara could not have used Mechza al Mechza here, which literally means that the menfolk were 50-50, because exactly what we do in such a situation is a sugya in Masechta Psachim, Machlok Shin Rav Rav Kahana, the Gemara is trying to circumvent that whole sugya, that whole Machlokas. And therefore, if it's Rov Anoshim Tmeim, then everybody agrees that the Pesach will be brought in its proper time on Yudal Ben Nisan. So that's one point in Tosfos. Then there's another point in Tosfos. He says that the Gemara could have suggested an entirely different interpretation of Chizkiyo's mistake. In other words, Chizkiyo, even Lomaskana, right, when he came to ask for a kapara from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he understood, as he understood originally, that women are obligated in the Korban Pesach. What was his mistake? He thought that women are included in Pesach Sheni. Now, if that be the case, then if women are obligated in Korban Pesach, meaning Pesach Rishon, which gives me now a rov of Tahorim, so the Miyut Tmeim have to bring the Korban on Korban Pesach Sheni. He thought that women also if they were Tmeim, again, most of the women were Tahorim, but those who were Tmeos, right, they would have to bring Pesach Sheni. And that, then he realized his mistake, and he came to the conclusion that even though women are obligated in Pesach, that's only Pesach Rishon, but not in Pesach Sheni. So therefore, as far as Pesach Rishon, Enochinami, even Lamaskona, Chizkiah maintains its Rov Tahorim. Now the Tmeim have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Oh, now, let's add Pesach Sheni even as far as the women folk are concerned, because amongst the women folk there were those, albeit the minority, who were Tmeos. They also are obligated in Pesach Sheni.
How can I say that they're Patzer from Pesach Sheni, but yet included in Pesach Rishon?
Right, so that's a sugya in Masechta Pesachim. I'll tell you where to find the sugya. If you have a chance, you go through it. I can't do it now. That's in the you know, Masechta Pesachim, as you know, is divided into two parts. There's the mitzvahs of Pesach, the surim of Pesach, and then there's the carbon of the Pesach. That's half the Masechta. So on Daf Ayin Tes, there's a whole sugya there. About Noshim, and even if you hold Noshim Chayovos, that's only in Pesach Rishon, but not in Pesach Sheni.
Would it be the case if they were Chayav, really Chayav in Pesach Rishon, and they were in Pesach Sheni, they get Karis?
Yeah, I think so. That's a severe violation if you're obligated in Pesach Sheni, you don't bring Pesach Sheni, or the reverse. If you're not obligated in Pesach Sheni and you do bring Pesach Sheni. So that's why Chizkiah had to have tshuva. I just want to read another few words here just before I lose the trend. He says, Nimtza, it comes out, Legavi Pesach Rishon, Hoyurov, Ha'am, Tahorim, Yachashan, Noshim, Itztarfos, Imam, because Chizkiah maintains that they're obligated in Pesach Sheni, therefore they're part of the calculation. Al kein lo hoya l'tmeim lasus Pesach Rishon. Aval gabi Pesach Sheni, ein hanoshim mitztarfos. Oh, I see. This is shrova tmeim. Rov tmeim ein nimchid l'Pesach Sheni. Just one second. He's adding another element into the equation here. Let me just see if I can work this out. He says the following, that with regard to Pesach Sheni, we're in a situation of Rov Ha'am Tmeim. Right? Why do we undermine this Rov? Because we added the women folk. So now we're sending. Right, the whole purpose of Chizkiah, his goal was to send the Tmeim, you know, pack your bags and wait till Pesach Sheni. Now that would only apply in a case of Rov Tahoros, correct? But since women are not obligated in Pesach Sheni, then we can't consider them as part of the Rov in order to set up Rov Tahoros. And therefore, if you cannot set up Rov Tahoros, you go back to Rov Tmeim, and there's no Pesach Sheni. I don't know if you followed what I just said.
Yeah, it's like a steer, or else a steer. It's a cart in front of the horse. You can't count them and not count them, and then
right, since
obligate them, but say that I counted.
Right.
The
logically, you should count them into the statistics because they're obligated in carbon passive. But since the whole purpose here of making this statistical calculation is to determine whether you bring the carbon on Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, and women are not part of Pesach Sheni, therefore they shouldn't be part of the calculation.
Right.
Okay, so where are we up to now? B'sof sover noshim rishon rishus tahavale tmeim ruba v'ruba lo midchi lepesach shein. So we're up to Gufa. So let's see if we have the place here. Who can tell me where to find the place Gufa?
Gufa is about 10 lines up. There's at least two dots.
So if we go up from the bottom of the page, about let's call it 12 lines, maybe.
10 lines up.
Oh, you count to 10? Okay. So you're up to the two dots and Gufa. Omar Shmuel, Ein Ma'arvim is Hashana B'yom Shloshim Shaladar Hoil V'roy L'kovo Nisan. So the 30th day of Adar lends itself to becoming the first day of Nisan, and therefore it's too late for Ibur HaChodesh. Ibrua Mai. Okay, Ibrua Mai. So the Poshup Shad in this Gemara, Ibrua Mai, would be what happens if Beis Din made a mistake, Shalom Kehilchus, so they violated Halacha, they were Ma'aber the Shana on the 30th day of Adar, would this Ibur be valid? The only problem I have is, then, if that's the Gemara's question, I don't understand Ula's answer. Omar Ula, what happens to the Eved if they went ahead and they were Ma'aber the Shana on what? On the 30th day of Adar? Ein Mekadshim Es HaChodesh. Now, wait a second. We were talking about the Ibur. Why confuse me with Kiddush HaChodesh? What is the thrust of Ula's response here? Why didn't Ula just say Me'uberes or Batel HaIbur, whatever language? Instead, he says Ein Mekadshim Es HaChodesh. So the answer is that although the Ibur is valid b'di'eved, Ula wants to tell me another halacha. And that is that Beis Din should not declare that the month of Adar, just one second, Elam Lomar Al Chodesh Zeshu Mekudosh L'Shem Ador Sheni. Me'achas Shekvar Hayu Roy Lios Nisan Yesh Lomar Shosh Ela Shem Shoskim and Mekadshes Oklal Kshegirosh Chodesh Haba Yekadshu L'Shem Nisan. Not exactly.
Retroactively, wants to go back and change it.
You're ahead of me, Chanoch. I'm not ready for your question yet because I still don't understand what exactly Ula is pointing out here. Apparently, if the Ibur was on the 30th day of Adar, correct? So that means that what's the status of the 30th day of Adar? If they were Ma'aber and we validate that Ibur.
It's good, it's stairs.
No, but I'm saying what's the status of that day, the 30th day? What?
It's a ma'aleh.
No, I don't think so. I think it remains a chaser, but the 30th day becomes Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. And that's what I think. Do you follow my point? Because the Ibur is adding another month, and they did the Ibur on the 30th day. And that's what Ula wants to say. Even if I recognize the Ibur and validate it, but they should not be Mekadesh and declare that this is Adar Sheni. Because again, we're going back to the principle of Shmuel. Shmuel said, Roy Lekovo Nisan. Again, we're not going to be Koved as Nisan, because then we can't do the Ibur, and Ula is maintaining that the Ibur, again, post facto, but the Eved is valid. So the Ibur is valid. But on the other hand, we're in a bind, because if we're going to establish the 30th day as the first day of Adar Sheni, then we are violating Shmuel's principle of Roy Lekovo Nisan. Correct? You remember that we had a drasha that said, Ze Nisan Vein Acher Nisan. So I think what Ula is saying here, and we'll look in Rashi, Dibra Maskel V'ein, and we'll try to figure it out. It's about 15 lines up from the bottom. Ein lomer mekudosh hu li adar sheni. We should not make a declaration on this 30th day that it's mekudosh. Mekudosh means it's Rosh Chodesh of Adar Sheni. Kevan deroy lekovo Nisan. Since that 30th day could have been Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Karina Bey, we're going to apply the following principle: Zen Nisan Vein Acher Nisan. In other words, this day has to be Nisan.
Because we learned from Rabbi Shimon yesterday, said that it's the Ra'u, it's fitting that on the 30th day
Right,
it's that was speaking to call it Rosh.
Right, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that was Shmuel's principle of Roy, correct?
Right, Shmuel's right.
Oh, so now what do we do here? We're in a bind because the month of Adar Sheni was inaugurated. The Ibur is valid, but yet we have a principle of Zen Nisan v'Ein Acher Nisan, that since this day is Roy to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we cannot make it into another month, meaning make it into Adar in this case, because it's already Roy.
How can so the Ibur be valid if you're not gonna,
what do you say?
How can the Ibur be valid if you're not going to call it another
month? So Rashi says Val El Shaski, they say nothing. Right? If they say nothing, then by declaring it a Shana Muberes, it ipso facto, you know, becomes Adar. But there was no active declaration on that 30th day that this is Adar, because that would be in violation of the principle of Nisan, Zen Nisan. So we pass v'chimati reish yarcha achrina, when the next Rosh Chodesh comes around, mekadshei leil Nisan. In other words, the roi of the 30th day of Adar is going to force us to be mekadesh Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but we can't do it on the 30th day of Adar because Zen Nisan, right? Zen Nisan, Vein Acher Nisan. So Shaski, we should do nothing. And we'll wait till Rosh Chodesh Nisan to be Mekadesh Nisan. And that'll give Nisan its due. We never robbed Nisan of its kiddush, because on that 30th day we weren't Mekadesh that day as Adar. And the status of that day as Adar is swallowed up in the Ibur of adding another month, but there was no specific kiddush on that 30th day sanctifying it as the Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni.
So now, you still would push off Rosh Chodesh Nisan another 30 days and just act like this month is just, these 30 days are just there, but we don't call them Adar Sheni.
Correct. We don't officially recite that formula, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. Right. Because if we recited Mekudesh, it would have to be Mekudesh for Nisan, and that would undermine the Ibur. So we want to somehow validate the Ibur. Again, we'd rather not do the Ibur, but if they were Ma'aber, but don't go ahead and be Mekadesh that day as Rosh Chodesh Adar, because that would rob Nisan of its potential to have that 30 that day being Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We'll fulfill our requirement to be Mekadesh Chodesh Nisan a month down the line, and we're going to celebrate, you know, Adar Sheni, we're going to observe Adar Sheni, but nevertheless we're not going to do an act of declaring Mekudesh, 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 as if to say that this day is now Rosh Chodesh Adar, because that would be a slap in the face, so to speak, to Nisan, because that day is Roy Leos Nisan. So just give me one more minute. Again, I'm still working out the pshat, so I'll take questions in a second. Just give me a little chesed here. You know, let me sweat this out here. So now the Gemara says, Kidshumai, what happens if we went ahead and we violated Ula's principle? And what they did was they made a declaration on the 30th day that this day is Mekudosh for Adar Sheni. Now they're really directly confronting the and fighting against the principle of Nisan, but that's Roy Leos Nisan and Nisan Zeh. Amar Rav, in such a case, Batala Ibur. Unbelievable. Because they went that extra 9 yards, right? That extra point, And instead of allowing the Ibur to take its course, and therefore the 30th day would become the beginning of Adar Sheni automatically, but passively, they went ahead and actively determined and declared that this 30th day is Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, meaning they did an act of Kiddush. Now they violated the principle of Shmuel of Roy Lekovo Nisan, meaning that this day belongs, so to speak, in Hilchas Kiddush. It belongs to Nisan, and they went ahead in Hilchas Kiddush and then Makadish it as Adar, so to speak, robbing Nisan of its rights to have that day being Makudosh as Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and therefore undermining the principle of Zen Nisan Vein Acher Nisan. In such a case, we're going to throw out the entire Ibur. We'll throw out the what's the phrase? The soap with the bathwater, whatever the phrase. The baby with the bathwater. Why? Because that was already a violation. Meaning, if the Ibur goes still a hate, as we say, it goes under the radar screen, you know, in a very quiet, silent way, without being Makadish that day as, you know, as sanctified as Rosh Chodesh Adar, then we're gonna let it go by. And we'll give Nisan its due a month down the line whenever we're ready to be Makadish Nisan. But to take a day that belongs in Hilchas Kiddush to Rosh Chodesh, I'm sorry, to Nisan, and be Makadish it as Adar, that we can't do. Ibur we can do, but Kiddush we cannot do. And now the Gemara goes a step further, establishing in the name of Rava that if they went that extra step, and not only were they ma'aber the Shana, but they were makadesh the first day with an active act, a declaration of Kiddush on that 30th day, establishing Kiddush of Rosh Chodesh, then the whole deal is off. Then even the Ibur itself is going to be undermined. Why? Because this principle called Nisan, Zen Nisan v'lo Acher Nisan, and again adding Shmuel's interpretation of Roy Leos Nisan, is so powerful that it could even undermine the Ibur itself. And just one more line, and then the floor is yours. Rav Nachman Omar, Me'ubar u'makudosh. Even in this case, where they went ahead, and not only were they ma'abra the Shana, but they also were makadesh that 30th day as Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, we accept and we validate what they did b'di'evet.
This is a technical question that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is always one day, and if it's right to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, doesn't it mean that there's no fraction of that day that's Adar?
Well, I'm not sure what your question is, Rumi, but if you're asking, can we sort of chop up a day into segments and part of it will be Adar and part will be Nisan, is that what you're asking?
I'm asking,
because I think it's an all or nothing proposition, but maybe you're asking a different question.
My question is, Rosh Chodesh Nisan always follows an Adar that's Maleh.
Oh, that I don't know. I mean, maybe you know something, I don't know. I'm very naive here. As far as I know, it could be a Mole, it could be a Chaser. We don't know for sure. It would all depend upon when the Edim saw the Kiddush HaChodesh.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to end the Shia immediately, but I just want to point out to you that this statement of Rav Nachman is going to come under fire, because Rava is going to attack Rav Nachman from the case of Purim, from Purim to Pesach, the 30 days from Purim to Pesach, and we have a locha of 30 days, meaning a holiday in a sense begins 30 days before the holiday itself. Well, what does that mean, a holiday begins 30 days before the holiday? It means that Darshim Sholem and Darshim Vilchasa Pesach Shloshim Yom Kodim Lechag, or Rav Shimon says at least two Shabbosos, at least 14 days. So now we're in a really strange situation according to Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman is going to accept this Ibur, and if he accepts this Ibur, then we have such a wide discrepancy between, you know, the halachas that we learned You're going to be machik, you know, Rosh Chodesh Nisan by a full month. You know, we've already begun learning and studying the laws of Chametz, and Rava seems to assume it's a 30-day period and that's it. Well, now by adding another month, you know, you're going to end up prematurely completing the study of Hilchas Pesach, and that we can't allow. That's called Asi Lizilzue Bechametz, which means Kshiyavo Anoshim Lizalz Lisa Chametz. After Kfar Shomu Adrosha, he says they've already heard all the halachas, and not only that, maybe they won't even accept the Iber Shana. Again, you follow the logic of Rav is going to be that once the process of Yom Tov has gone into motion, and now you're going to push them off by a month, they're not going to even be receptive to that idea. Okay, Rav, so B'li Nedra, I will see you on